Okay, so we welcome Paul and Peter back from their travels. For the sake of the recording, nobody's here. And Travis is giving his apologies while he's fatigued. So, I think he felt that this was his contribution to the Institute, and that now that he's been asked to do something else, that it should change. Which is a lot. I mean, I regard that as very unfortunate. But anyway, so I guess we can work through these different programs. So do you want
to... I probably want to send Peter's here. Can we talk about the broad plan, I suppose? You haven't been here for a while, so a good bit of a catch up and check where you're heading in the right direction. And what we wanted to do was, what we were working on is testing that we had an existing package that seemed to perform and similarly to CDN, and we were seeing that it was easy to use and try to work out whether the packages were suitable for us to adopt. And I think we've done enough tests to show that things are in the same ballpark. There's differences between each of them, but there's pluses and minuses each way. Are we happy to continue and select an existing package that looks like it's going to enable us to reach our goal of creating something constant?
So can I just check with LibMesh, my understanding from earlier was that it was adding the ability to deal with unstructured grids on top of Petsky, which was dealing with the underlying API. And also there are other things such as LibMesh allowed you to deal with the qubit, various forms of qubit functions. Is that the case? I remember Chris mentioned to me in Oxford that he thought that all LibMesh was doing in terms of dealing with unstructured meshes was via the solvers. But is it? Are we confirmed that we can deal adequately with a arbitrary mesh?
I have to look in more detail. It's good. I've seen pictures that sort of... LibMesh can exist without the solvers, and so it has its own mesh implementation, and it has such a variety of elements that I would have assumed them for general any shape.
Most of the meshes they do are tetrahedral. How can they be structural? I don't know what a structure. Well, I guess I do know what a structured triangle mesh looks like, but you don't normally write code based on triangles that makes assumptions about its neighbours.
And that's just one of those. You're starting off with.
Yeah, but even then you'd be, I don't know, you'd write code around that.
Okay, and so far your comparisons between the LibMesh example and the one that you set up and the corresponding thing on the CM, when you discount that place, etc.
What we end up.
You could never get it to run by just discarding that. You have to actually go for grid fencing.
What we did was actually run a monodomain reaction fusion problem. So it's not the same problem, but it actually does a similar amount of work because they have a very basic cell model. Yeah. And so we've got some figures from that.
So how do they compare?
They both spent the same amount of time in the solvers. In total, LibMesh took quite a bit longer. So CM took 82 seconds and LibMesh took 380 seconds. But we knew from the start that LibMesh was doing an assembly at each stage, whereas CM just did it once.
Yeah.
And Steam was spending 19 seconds doing an assembly,
yeah.
whereas the mesh is spending 5 seconds doing each assembly.
Yeah.
And it isn't a simpler assembly because it doesn't have fibers and things like
that. 5 seconds for the assembly of the entire mesh.
It's
of all the other matrices to form a global stiffness.
That's right, yeah.
yeah. So you're saying that LibMesh was doing that in 5 seconds and CM was taking 19 seconds?
That's right.
For the assembly of the global mesh. I mean, presumably that's the protocol thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because everything else is going to be rather similar in terms of solving apart from
Well, it was. The solvers were very similar.
These tests were done with a multiple processor.
Was
it making use of MPI?
So we're comparing.
Most of them were only on one processor.
We're comparing not because CM doesn't.
Okay.
And then the.
There was some time that the mesh was wasting setting up the problem, but took 80 seconds to set up the problem. So that was before assembled any matrices or anything like that. Something built the mesh. But that's a one-off cost at the beginning and we'll do multiple times.
And how big was that mesh?
We're talking 1,000 by 1,000 bilinear elements.
Right. A lot. It doesn't look as much. Oh, that's for sure.
Well, that's CM couldn't load that naively and had to load it as a grid thing.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that is probably a good solver grid thing.
Yeah.
Well, except you can't do it. You know, so yeah.
We couldn't apply appropriate boundary conditions or really solve the equation.
You'd have to go and write more.
But we could modify.
Anyway, the point is that has answered our concern.
I believe so.
Issue
of
the C++ code. I mean, have you now looked at that problem on multiple? I remember you were doing some 2 or 4 prop.
Yeah, we abandoned 2 prop for now, and we had a speed up of 1.7.
Yeah.
Really need to make quite a long problem because it takes a bit of time setting up these SSH connections to for the various processes that are running. And the machine's quite busy. No, it's actually free today, so I could put them in 4 processes.
And then what? Where are the things that would be other ones like Sundance?
So the other things of LibMesh I've noted is that they haven't made an official release for ages, but their CVS actually is quite different. It's been actively developed. We can see that. One of the things is there's a flag for turning off the assembly, so you don't have to assemble, which we could make use of.
So you just apply your own assembly?
Well, that as well, but no, we just the first time through the solve, we'd get it to assemble itself, and then just set this flag and it would reassemble the next time, which is exactly what we want. So it's just a matter of setting the flag in the right place. As well, you can overload the assembly, which is far more work than we need to do with this problem. So it's just the problem that at every iteration and time step is resolving. So then I looked at Sundance, and I'm quite impressed with the coding of what I could do, and that it took me a day and a bit to get it running, and running API and everything. It's a bunch slower than what we could see on the same LibMesh, by 2 or 3 times or something. It looked like it was scaling better in memory use, but that's all I've done with it. I think I get the feeling, it's just a feeling, not really anything else, that Sundance must be being used in earnest by Sandia. I'm sure they wouldn't be pulling resources into something that's a dead zone. But at the same time, I don't see the same sort of global community. It's very much a Sundance project, and very much they're doing it to suit their own internal purposes. And so they haven't, they've made Sundance version 2, but they've never done Square, but the element types, for example. And the guy says, okay, it'll be easy to add, but it's not interesting to me. I don't need it, so I'm not going to do it. However, if you go and look at LibMesh and the CBS, and someone has gone and added dbcommit, which there weren't before. We didn't have dbcommit in the release we're working on, but someone's added them. There's a lot of place for there's zillions of different basis functions. They've obviously got the structure and the intention to support them.
Yeah, why is the dbcommit one with variable size on it?
Like scanning partition.
No idea. I mean, I just thought there's a file called that.
Yeah, there's a big difference between using dbcommit where all your elements are the same size, so you don't have to worry about scale factors. It's just dealing with the complexity of scale factors.
I turn scaling factors off when I use dbcommit. So I find them.
I know, but you have to have some way of mapping a single global variable in a node to its two adjacent elements. Unless you've got some means of multiplying that global term by something to match to the global xi coordinates.
As long as I'm happy to use it as an average, I can assume it's an average of those two things.
But you have to have a relationship between them.
I just choose to. The element coordinate density changes
I don't need it, it's just a different sort of thing. It's just a different shape. And given the way that it does crazy things, like if you say, write your mesh out and you read it back in after fitting, you get a different mesh.
Probably the case where scale factors may be used heterodyne if you've got hanging nodes with two elements joining onto one element, and if you're trying to share the same room to
accuracy
nodes.
So if you have two elements
of weighting.
If you have two elements of totally different length, your derivative that you're using at this node. If it's in local material, you're just assuming it's in the local material for the small element, for example.
Yeah,
and then
sure.
That's distorting.
That's right. But yeah, I mean, these are interesting questions. But I think what's important here is that if we deemed that was required and had to go and add the code, that it seems to be a place and a structure and a way of doing that, whereas if you go and look at someone's code that doesn't support derivatives at nodes, and adding that infrastructure would be gigantic. Although, as you point out, scaling factors is probably a significant additional overhead as well. I have no idea.
From what I've seen, it looks like that it might be available in a different way, in that any degree of freedom can be expressed as linear combination of some other degrees of freedom. And so that could be a way of expressing the shortage of some terms of half long.
So you're saying that is accommodated in LibMesh?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, well, that would deal with it.
So do you, when you set up the problem with LibMesh, what will you write on your control? And is that for
No, it's C++.
So you wrote C++ modules.
That's a C++ language.
Yeah.
So that might be something we'll look at, how we build on top of that. I imagine
with a C++ library, and then you've got a scripting.
No, it's a C++ program. Write a C++ program and just compile.
That's how it's designed for.
So you end up with an executable that solves your problem. And you just run.
Yeah, I guess I'm just thinking though, if you wanted to control it from a scripting language, and not at the level of, just at the level of like our environment was.
Yeah, I think our environment does not too much. I think there's a balance. Like, if you write a program like that, you can choose to allow it to vary the step size or the CMLL equation, or whatever. But you might want to allow it to hard code a lot of things, and this gives you the ability to do that.
Yeah, no question that there's a lot of stuff you'd want to write in the C++, but I'm just making sure that we, for the sorts of things where we do want control at the scripting language level, we could do it.
If perhaps we wanted to control our time iteration in a Python-Perl loop, then assume we could write Perl bindings to the program. sort of make it a film or to invest into other person boundaries too.
I mean, for example, if this was linked into Steam GUI, where you were doing, you had a user interface.
Again, I'm very worried about, I'm not sure whether that's a good idea. I'm not, that's not clear.
So are we giving away the idea of mapping our graphics structures into the same memory space?
This is under limitation visualization. We have talked a bit about this. I'm not sure whether we could make SQLGUI use these data structures. The biggest thing that's missing that SQLGUI have is some way of noticing when things change. Most of these sorts of softwares don't have an infrastructure around notifications and messaging. So if you update a mesh, it doesn't notify you that things have changed. Basically what you do is you just know, because you've written a program. You wrote a step that said, I'm going to update this, and then you write another step, which is draw graph.
In your controlling program, and you see, in your controlling C program that's solving a problem, surely you've got a time loop.
Yeah, and you can do that loop, update graphics.
Yeah, you can send something back to SQLGUI.
That's right, which is very different than what SQLGUI does. SQLGUI sits there with these data structures, right?
Yeah.
And as soon as you modify them, it knows that all these things have to change, and it knows all the dependencies so that you can go and update things. And so SQLGUI would be a very different animal if we tried to replace the data storage that's inside inside SQLGUI with a thing like this, because you'd have to go and back to the old days, which is what it started out like. But you have to go and you have to say, okay, remake this, remake that, redraw these nodes, just because you've loaded it in a new file.
Yeah, I guess I'm just catching up maybe.
Yeah, I know, I know. I
with the notion that we're now not considering mapping
I guess I'm not sure what that means anymore. I got disillusioned, and that's why I've written it on here, and I spent quite a bit of time thinking about it, but I haven't come up with an answer. So I guess I'm not even sure what that means.
Well, it just means that are you, you've got 10 million variables.
Yes.
That you need to, for your computation and you need for your graphics, are we taking a copy of that to then display it?
At the moment we have to.
Yeah.
The other way is to... it's even more difficult for me to see that we might even write them together. I could see us writing a SQLGUI exporter from libmesh. That's clearly defined what you would do. Beyond that, I'm mystified as to what's possible. I don't think it's special to this. I think it would, whatever we chose to use. The only other way to go is if we created an infrastructure which had a storage like what SQLGUI has.
It seems to me that what we probably should do then is to say, for the next 12 months at least, we're going to try using libmesh for solving reaction diffusion equations. Large number of processes solving hard problems, for example, reaction diffusion only, using CellML models, getting experience of that, experience of the API, not making any attempt to do anything with mechanics or the rest, continue using backend C, not making any attempt to merge SQLGUI with this, but simply gaining experience of the API in solving this problem. After 1 year of doing that, we can reevaluate whether we want to try and bring things together.
Well, we can say what's important to us. I mean, all these things are possible. I just don't think some of them are worthwhile. You know, it's just, you've got to come up with a real compelling use case, and you've got to use reason for wanting to do something, especially when some of these things are going to take enormous amounts of work.
Okay, well, I mean, why don't I'd be happy that we made that decision at this meeting to simply say we've done these evaluations, we're happy with the efficiency of the C++ code. We're going to say we're ending this phase, but we're going to go with LibMesh, but confine it to Reaction Fusion, get plenty of people using that and gaining experience with the cluster, and then we, you know, we'll readdress other issues in 12 months' time.
One of those, something that we can think about in the shorter term is how we can get people to use it.
Well, I'll tell you one way is that the...
Well, no, I just mean, do we expect everyone to write a C++ main program? Which is exactly how it's intended to be used. Or do we start building something else? I'm reticent to try, you know, start straight away doing something different from the way it's being used by its developers.
But yeah, so we start with that way. And someone like Jagir, you know, I would start him off straight off on that basis. And we need to talk to Travis to see whether he wants to build some of the stuff he's doing on top of it.
So what was the first name you mentioned?
Jagir is the guy that's coming.
His name's actually Ruzi, apparently.
Yeah,
he's from my name.
Yeah, Ruzi actually signed. Apparently that's his name. R-U-Z-A-K or something. There was a huge debate over his UPI for about a week.
I did notice two names being used. And I think
Well, they decided at the end, well, Susanna sent out an email saying his name is not Jagir, it is Uzak, whatever, his UPI is R-H-U.
Whenever he sends me an email, he signs it Jagir.
Jagir.
J-A-G-I-R.
That's brilliant.
I've seen that name before.
And I've been in touch with him in the last few days.
Yeah, okay. Oh, was it?
So he's starting, he's the guy that's got the IBM BlueGene experience. He's working, he basically wants, his PhD is working on the incorporating the spatial distribution of protein expression data into the whole heart simulation.
But he's the guy from the IBM research lab.
He's currently, he came with the recommendation of Jeremy Rice.
Okay, so we'll wait till he turns up, I guess. But I mean, obviously, if he's signing his name, Jagir, that's what he wants to be called, even if it's not his name. So.
When are you expecting him?
Probably later on. Okay.
He hasn't defeated yet.
Oh, okay.
And he wanted a bit of time disassociating from IBM.
So if the modeling work is done using LibMesh
for Reaction Diffusion,
how does that hook into CMGRU? Because you'll still want to make use of.
We'll want to look at results.
So LibMesh has a number of exporters. And I would write one either with EXNodeXL or with my version of field analysis.
Okay, so that wouldn't be handling by files, that would be actually...
That would initially be by files. But you could potentially link it and send them directly, but it would still be a copy, so there's no obvious advantage.
Other than speed, possibly.
Yeah, at some speed, but the overhead of duplicating the memory might cripple you in that regard as well. There is some advantage if the LibMesh the file writer happens on a single CPU. So if you have a multiple CPU job, it must be accumulating before it runs the file writer. And so presumably, if you wrote classes that were able to transfer data to CMGUI directly and then calculate isosurface for their data, then you could do this kind of distributed isosurface calculation. But
I think that's a very big change from the intended way that people want to use LibMesh at the moment. So I think we need to do the simplest things first and get running with that. Did you want to say anything about the other? I mean, this is the outcome that I was hoping that we would have. There were two other projects which Carl looked at. I don't know whether you want to say even a sentence about them.
Eliminated, because really at the moment it looks like the parallel implementations only in the soldiers, and they're just starting to look at putting it into the assembly stage. And the other one was Freemesh, that who wrote it, a lot of effort was put into it, but then everybody wrote it left the institute, and some of them are trying to keep it going, so it doesn't seem to have seen much action. It's quite a contrast from LibMesh, which seems pretty busy with lots of people contributing.
I mentioned to Shane, I haven't managed to find the name of it. There's a program that came out of Ed Figman, say it.
What's his name?
Calgary.
Ed. Because I'll have a look.
M-O-N-D, I think. Vig. V for victory. Yeah. Figman. It's Calgary. And he. It's a C++ program running MPI that's based on PETSCHEM. What I'm not sure is if it's also based on LibMesh or whether it's using PETSCHEM more directly. But that's the code that's being used by a guy in Graz, and also by Natalia's student.
Oh, yeah, what's her name?
Blanca.
Blanca.
They're running very big simulations and getting extremely good solution times. They look at the number of variables and problems in solving. It's certainly very impressive and clearly is as efficient as we've ever been seeing. So that's also giving me some confidence in that.
Do you think the code might be available to
them? Yeah, it is. It's open source. And they're going to try and do is track it down, and just we should get that here. But that might be something that we could get Kikia to do.
Should we look at that before jumping into it?
It's probably worth spending out a few hours tracking it down.
Do you guys have any comments about the sort of quality of the structure of LibMesh? Is that something that you've looked at, the sort of overall design?
I was learning C++ today, I'm not quite sure what potential there is. When I looked at a program, an example program that used LibMesh, it looked easy to understand what it was doing. To try and use things the other way and work out how to do what I wanted was more challenging than to go through inheritance, just trying to work out what functions are available in the classes. I don't know if I've ever found a system where it's easy to work out how to do something. Usually easier to work out what something does. Can I be more helpful with that?
That's fine.
I more looked at the Sundart side of things as myself. So. Classes do seem reasonable.
I mean, what I was getting at was the amount of activity associated with the project is one sort of important measure. But I guess from the developer's point of view, the
the quality or ease of use and efficiency is a...
My only example of that would be the addition of these different basis functions.
Yes.
So there's a basis function directory, and each of the different dimensions of those basis functions is implemented in a separate file, I notice, 1D, 2D, 3D,
yeah.
But they form an individual class, you know, you just inherit from some class, and there's a nice little module, and you know, the size of the file for 3D SuperCommit is 1,000 lines or something, which seems reasonable, you know, it's not huge, and it's not, you know, and it looks legible from my cursory glance. Which is if that's what's required. Although I noticed, I think that there was some problems in that because it had been added later, all the export routines didn't support that or something else. So obviously it wasn't a complete implementation of what was required to make it work everywhere. But it seemed at least that seemed a reasonable amount of work and a nicely contained body of work to add in my basis function.
Guys, cats coming at 12:30. I'm gonna have to go in 5 minutes.
Yeah. Okay, well, we should get down to here.
Yeah, because I was keen to talk about the last two.
So we should stop.
Recording?